Father, Lord, this is your church. It belongs unto you as we have submitted ourselves to your truth. Please open the eyes of our understanding and teach us this morning, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Lodger.
Good morning, everyone, again. It's so good to see all of you. Sister Tola, I think I'm seeing you for the first time in about 10 years. Sure. I want to really greet everyone. And there are some people on Zoom. Brother Peter, I only just learned that mommy was in hospital 2 weeks ago. You have my phone, but you didn't text me. I know I can't. So I'm saying in her so she can. I'll see her this afternoon. But I didn't hear from you. I was Brother Bumu. He gave me Grandma Ned. Everyone, good. It's so good to see everybody. Sister Kemi, you are still here. I'm glad I'm seeing you today. And everyone, Wosa, how are you? You know, I have a nephew here. I have many. I have very, very many. But there's one, we're from the same village. So the few of you had birthdays. Where is Deshola? Where is Professor Deshola? He's not here today. Deshola didn't come. Where is Deshola? Adeleke didn't come. Tisha, you also had a birthday. Were you not supposed to be having a haircut yesterday? Next time you bring him to me, I'm a professional barber. I will either give you Fresh Prince of Bell or whatever they call it. I'll give you Mike Tyson. I'll give you structural adjustment, whichever. I'll give you different haircuts. So, Brother Wiley, next time you want a haircut, come to me. I'll give you one that will fit your personality. But I want to just thank God for every one of you. I haven't had the chance to know what is going on with each family. But from what I've heard, I know a lot has been going on. Some of us have friends who have lost very young children or young people. Some of us have family friends who have lost their parents. We've had a number of deaths. We've had some really serious medical challenges. Kemi was telling me about someone that we know from Ife and all of the stuff that are going on. And we live in a country that you may not hear persecution the way it's going on in Nigeria, but let me tell you, there is a phenomenon called death by despair that has increased in the Midwestern part of the US. It is usually among middle-aged white men, and it's either through alcohol. Alcohol is the number one source, but it comes from a sense of despair. And you know the opioid crisis that is going on in our nation. So I don't want us to make the mistake of thinking things are better here. They are not. They are not by any stretch of the imagination. As we live in this world, we must be careful not to measure well-being by the GDP. Or by what we think is free access, either to health or the ability to vote, and your votes are counted, and there is no violence. But we've already seen that that's possible here. We've already seen that that is possible. But the greatest, the biggest challenge we have now is despair among the children of God, not from persecution, but just being worn out. Being worn out, tired of hearing constantly, let's pray for this person. Let's pray for that person. Let's pray for that person. And if we are not careful, we can be tempted by such questions. Where is your God? It can come internally. Where is your God? I thought we were praying. How come this brother had cancer? How come that brother had cancer? How come that happened? How come that person lost this person? Those are the temptations that assail us on a regular basis. They are the things that weaken our faith, that make us think that the promise of the Lord or the promises of God are not true. I want to read a passage. I see that our time is already quite spent, but God has actually been shepherding us through a theme, if you follow the theme of today. in the book of Revelation, and I know there's a house group that is studying the book of Revelation, you will see that God is exalted in many ways. First, there's a revelation of his majesty in his eternal throne. You see that. It goes on, whatever happens on earth or whatever happens in the universe, God is constantly worshipped. The phrase is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And we are told that the elders and the holy beings, they will not cease day or night to declare that. Because God is always holy. It means God is unique. He's set apart. He's not like any other. There is none to compare to God. That's what holiness means. It is not purity. It's not moral purity. Holiness is a set apartness that shows that God has no compare. There is no one to liken God to. He is separate. God is not a billion, 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 billion times. No, there is no word to describe how intrinsically majestic God is. His glory will every one of us here will almost be vaporized. If you were to see God in his full, it's not even possible. So there's the righteousness of God. There's the mercies of God. There's the majesty of God. There's the glory of God. These are terms we need to understand. They are declared in the book of Revelation. And they ascribe to God his creation. He created all things by his will. He willed all things. And they are and are created. And eventually we see the exalted Lamb of God who has, who can claim the title deed to planet Earth, because by his death, he has qualified to take the scroll and to open the seals and then to show us what is going to happen. Today, I want to share with you a conversation or a teaching that the Lord did when his disciples came to him and asked him some questions. But I do want to read, can I just read Matthew chapter 10? You have another extra, do you have an extra microphone that we can, so if, okay. So if I were to call, where is Maya? Maya, come on, sit here. Come on, come and sit here right in front. Bring your Bible with you. Toby, come on. I'm going to make you one of my volunteers. Have a seat here. All right. So give them microphone so that if I ask them to read, they can just read here. So you are okay with this assignment? Okay, thank you. So Toby, why don't you read for us? Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Could you all please open to Matthew chapter 10? And can I just quickly... Sister Fadike, can you pray for us as we go into this word now? Amen. So, Sister Fadeka, when did you return from Nigeria? Did you get the chieftaincy title? They didn't give it to you. Okay. God bless you. So, Toby, could you read from verse 5 of Matthew chapter 10? And I will tell you when to stop. Matthew chapter 10 from verse 5.
These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill. Raise the dead. Cleanse who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver, copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or staff for workers with his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that house or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than that town.
Thank you. Can stop there for a while. So here the Lord was giving instructions to his disciples. So usually when we say a disciple is one who is covered in the dust of the master. That they walk so closely to the teacher or the one they are following that as that master is walking along, they are so close by the dust from the sandals as the master is walking, covers them. In other words, they are very closely related. They learn from the master. The master teaches them the word of God, explains it to them, but actually pulls them to work, to do the practicum, to bring it to pass. So in one of these times, remember, the Lord Jesus Christ came himself after the baptism of John, preaching the gospel of the good news of the kingdom of God. Now he is sending his followers to go do the same. He is giving them what his father gave him. The disciples were performing miracles before Pentecost, just to let you know. They were already doing a lot before Pentecost. Something happened at Pentecost on another level. But here he's saying to them, when you go out, this is what you are going to say. The kingdom of God is at hand. So today I want to talk about the return of the king. But what kingdom? When we say Jesus is king, to what kingdom? What kingdom is he returning for or to? So Mayo, can you continue reading? It talks a lot about what they were going to experience. The Lord Jesus made his disciples very aware. It's not like a salesman, you know, salesman that would tell you some of the good things, but they will hide a lot of the stuff you are going to experience. I don't know how many of you, maybe Brother Peter, you do. When you go to buy a new phone like Samsung and they give you those 24 pages, do you read every line? They say, you read it, Bro Peter reads, okay. So they'll say, agree to these terms that we have just updated our privacy policy. So they will send you the link. Sister Bookie, you read, you go through every, I know you're an account, you go through everything. So they are hiding for legal sake. They are telling you everything, but they know you will not read it. Oh, you do. Okay, God bless you. But the Lord Jesus is not like that. He tells his disciples very clearly what it will mean for them to follow him. Anyway, let's keep going. So, Mayo, can you read from verse 16 and read all the way to verse 24? So, we're still in Matthew chapter 10.
Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. But beware, for you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. A brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child. And children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. And all nations will hate you because you are my followers. But everyone who endures to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I tell you the truth. The Son of Man will return before you have reached all the towns of Israel. Students are not greater than their teacher, and slaves are not greater than their master.
Okay. And then he says, it is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So one of the things that the Lord Jesus is telling them here is persecution. But look, the persecution is in many phases. There is a persecution that is visited on us by people with authority. You know, officials, magistrates, and all of them. Then there is the one, this is the one that is painful for most of us, the internally generated persecution. Many people who should have known us better. Look at this. Look, many of you want to actually read this and want to encourage somebody to become a Christian. It has to be really the work of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. Verse 21, brother, will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And he will be hated by all for my name's sake. So when you read this, I always say, for those who study the Gospels with us over, you know, say a period of 6 months or thereabout, or a year, that we have to learn to take the words of Jesus very seriously. Usually I run it to Christians. I say, Paul said, they said, no. I end it with, what did Jesus say? And if Jesus meant what he was saying, then we better take it, we have to take him seriously. He is our master. He is the one we are going to appear before. That's why Paul was saying, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We're just ministers by whom you believed. Who do you think we are? Jesus is saying to his disciples, this is what it's going to take to follow me. But it's not bad news. He's preparing them because the kingdom that we are part of is at odds with the kingdom of darkness. If God were to reveal to you, Sister Ronke, what is going on in the spheres of principalities and powers and wicked forces, you won't be able to sleep. But thank God, we don't need to, which is why I'm usually turned off by ministers or so-called who want to show us the depth of evil. Listen, what God is interested in. God wants to show us the depth of the glory and power of his kingdom. If you were to know all that the devil is doing, you wouldn't have time to worship God. And I'm not a devil worshiper, so I don't need to know about his kingdom. Some people say, hey, that's spiritual warfare. That's not spiritual warfare. Have you not read the Bible? How many times do you see Paul praying and talking to the devil? Now, let me ask you, have you ever seen Paul addressing the devil in any of his prayers? Have you? No, tell me. You read the Bible. You seen Paul say, I take authority over you, send you to Sahara Desert, send you to Red Sea. Have you seen Paul do it there? And then who released the devil from the Red Sea? After he's been, so every Christians in Nigeria, we send him to the Dead Sea. Christians in Rwanda, we send him. He gets confused. So who releases him? That's not spiritual warfare. Bible says the weapons of our warfare, they are not humanly made. They are spiritual. They are powerful. It is not in the jumping and powerful prayers. A prayer is powerful based on who answers it. So when we say, Lord, help me, it's a powerful prayer because the one to whom we are soliciting help is the one who made the heaven and the earth. That's why the Bible says, when I look to the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the God, the Lord God, who made heaven and earth. Our prayers are powerful because of him. So you small self, you grew up in civilized places. Okay. So let me, if I write a letter, if our lodger wrote a letter and I send it to Brother Peter, if it's me, I signed a lodger. And then the president of this country writes a letter to Brother Peter, just one line. How are you doing, President Biden? Brother Peter is going to carry that letter to his office and show everybody. The one that I put all the flowers and everything, he is going to forget about it. Why? Is the power is in the one who has to authorize or superintend. Powerful prayers are based on who we pray to. That is why a childlike prayer is very powerful. So let's not forget that. When I tell people, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. I say, that prayer not strong. What do you mean? That prayer has everything. The disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. You think these men have not been praying? Do you know it's likely that Peter was older than Jesus? You know, Peter was already married. Peter had a wife. It's very possible that some of the disciples of the Lord Jesus were older than him. They've been praying before they met Jesus. But somehow they said, teach us how to pray. As John taught his disciples. And he said, when you pray, say, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. We sang it today in many ways. Your kingdom come. Let the reign of your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us. Don't let us be led into the way of evil. I'm just saying it in my own way. But deliver us from the evil one. If for yours is the kingdom, you are the one who has all power, not only now, but forever. Amen. I may ask you, what need of yours, Sister Buki, will not fit into that prayer? There's none. But let's keep going. And it made a digression just so that in these days that we're in, there's a weariness that we think if we don't stay up all night praying, when the Spirit moves you, please do. If the Spirit moves you to stay all night and pray, please do. But don't for one minute think that God will not answer a prayer because you didn't stay up all night. It makes God not the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. It makes him the God of the pagans who, remember Elijah was saying, can you check to be sure that your God is not having a siesta or maybe hasn't gone to the dentist? Can you check to be sure? Because they were crying and cutting themselves and Baal was not answering them. And then what did Elijah do? Elijah did something. He arranged the sacrifices, poured water on it, and he lifted up his hand to God. He did what those priests did not do. He did not jump up and down. He called to mind the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and asked God to show himself. And before he was done, fire came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. And the people said that the God that has answered by fire, he is the God. He is the Elohim. He is the God. So I want us in this dark period to understand what we're about to read now. So I'm going to read it. It's still in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim in the housetops. And do not what? Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And there's only one who can do that. That one is the great God. In the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus introduces himself as the root and offspring of, you know, David. The one who opens and no one can shut. The one who has the keys of what? Of death and Hades. Do you think the devil controls hell? No, he does not. Your Lord controls that. He says you should fear the one who has done. He said, yeah, don't be afraid of the person who can only kill the body. But there is one who can kill both the body and soul, and then he can cast them into hell. Are two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. No, listen to this theology. That a sparrow, two sparrows cannot fall to the ground except God has granted the, as God has to give permission for that to happen, or God allows that to happen. So, but evil, it says, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from who? If they say your God, they say your father. There's a sense of intimacy. Your father. Let me talk to those of us who did not have good earthly fathers or who do not have good earthly fathers. I just want to settle something with you. Your earthly father cannot be used to compare God. It's different. They are not the same. My father was an alcoholic. He was a good man, but that thing just did him in. And I grew up very resentful because I could not be proud of him. He was good in everything, but I could not be proud of him because I could not trust that he would be steady. When I became a believer, I knew very quickly that the Heavenly Father was not like my earthly father. I could be proud of my father within the first few years. I knew that God is not the same. I want to encourage all of you. If you struggle with who your father is, God and your father are not the same. You should say amen. But some of you have good daddies. Okay, you might want to say that. God and our fathers are not the same. In fact, the book of Ephesians says that in him is the foundation of all fatherhood. So our father should try and learn from God. That is the way to see it properly. But he said, your father. When Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, it was in a way not what people were used to. That intimacy was different. Our father, you know, you could say our king and our Lord, our sovereign, our majestic one. No, he said our father. And the translation is such actually like daddy. Abba, Avinu, Abba, my father. That's the translation. It's a very, very common way that children call their parents by. That's what the Lord was teaching them. It says, but the hairs of your head are numbered. Brother Wiley, do you have any hair on right now? Is that Biola check? How many does he have right now? You have some? Okay. He says, this is amazing. I mean, think about it. And think about it. It said the very hair of your head, John, it's numbered. It's amazing. So Bob Dylan, when he became a believer, he wrote a song. It's called Every Grain of Sand. He said he came to realize that every hair is numbered like every grain of sand. He talked about many things, all his temptations and everything. He said, then I came to understand that every hair is numbered like every grain of sand. He says, look, but even the hairs of your head are numbered. Then what is the follow-up? Every one of us, let's read it together, verse 31. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So he goes on to assure us. So in the midst of all of this persecution, we're hearing of our sisters who are locked in with mentally deranged individuals. But in the midst of that, he's saying to them, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. And in the book that we read of when we read the opening of the seal, I think our sister Lola read it. I was going to show us today, but since you've already done it, will make my work very easy. The Lord said to believers who were saying, Lord, how long before you avenge all the suffering we had in the hands of these wicked people? He said to them, just hold on for a little while until the number of your brothers and sisters who are going to suffer the same fate that has happened to them. So it is guaranteed. Should it frighten us? No, because Jesus said, do not be afraid. So let me use the next 5 minutes to quickly talk about an issue that I'm going to, when Pei and I come in 2 weeks, we're going to pursue. And this is what we call the Olivet discussion. I'm not going to go into it, but I will introduce it. And I want to preface that by saying, I have noticed in my 40-something years of being a believer that some of the doctrines that are supposed to unite us, that are supposed to bless us, that are supposed to really make us enjoy the fruits of the kingdom of God can be a source of division. I'll give you an example. Baptism. Denominations are divided as to whether you can baptize a child or you cannot baptize a child. Just follow what the Lord said. Just follow what's in the Bible. And those things cannot be the basis by which we say, this is, our sister is Anabaptist, I'm a Baptist. Do you know that's how those terms came about? And the next one is the doctrine of the blessing of the Holy Spirit that has caused so much fighting. Whether believers receive the Holy Spirit when they first become born again, or do they receive the Holy Spirit after having to pray and ask for it, and as others in the holiness movement assert, that is after you have received the initial act of sanctification. And these doctrines, that the blessing of the Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus gave as the gift from his Father, has become something that divides us, for which we say, I will never talk to that person. I don't talk to this person because they don't believe that. Is it not interesting? See, I went to Deeper Life Campus Fellowship. Say, Brother Logan, you did? Yes, I did. At that time, there were many things that women had to cover their hair all the time. And now I'm told that they have reversed this to say it's only when they are praying. But you know how much those doctrines divided us at the time? What God had intended for good became a source of division and pain. And only God can tell us how many of God's dear children were harmed during those periods of, you know, just misunderstanding. The next one is the return of the Lord. When the Lord was talking to his disciples, this is how it came about. So in Luke chapter 21, when we come in 2 weeks, we'll focus on Matthew chapter 24. But can I just read? So Toby, it's your turn. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 21, and you are going to read the first 9 verses. And then Maya, you are going to read from verse 10 all the way to verse 19. So everyone, can we look at Luke chapter 21? I'm going to do the introduction this Sunday. And then when we come back in 2 weeks, we'll go through the details. So this is the return of the king. Who is starting first?
As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put more in than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. She put in all she had to live on. Some of these disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? He replied, watch out. Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name claiming, I am he. The time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will come right away, will not come right away.
Then he added, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and there will be famines and plagues in many lands. And there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons, and you will stand trial before kings and governors because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry in advance about how to answer the charges against you, for I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. Even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, and friends will betray you. They will even kill some of you, and everyone will hate you because you are my followers, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will win your souls.
So, the reason it's called the Olivet Discourse is because in Matthew's account, it says, Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. Then he said that as he sat on the Mount of Olives. So if you go to Jerusalem, if you climb up and you are by the Mount of Olives, you will be looking at the temple. There'll be this great divide. There's a cemetery. Then you'll be looking at the temple. So when he returned, he always went back to the Mount of Olives. That's where the Garden of Gethsemane is. The disciples now said to him privately, tell us, when will these things be? And then what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age? So he sat down to talk to them. So remember that Jesus is the ultimate prophet. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses said to God's nation, he said to them, another prophet will your God raise up like me. He will come out from among you. And everything that God puts in his mouth, he will declare to you. And whoever does not pay attention to what he says will have to answer to God. So when John the baptizer came, they sent to him because of what he was doing, baptizing people and saying, you brood of vipers, who had warned you. They thought this could be that prophet. They asked him, are you the prophet, that prophet? He said, no, I'm not. Then he said, there is one amongst you that you do not know. He is so great that I cannot stoop down to untie his sandals. He is the one who is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is a prophet. He is the final prophet because he reveals God more truly, more accurately. He not only has to say it, he embodies the very word of God. He is the word of God himself. So that is why the Apostle John, in writing through the Holy Spirit, said, nobody has seen God at any time, but the one who dwells in the bosom of the Father, he has revealed him. So Jesus is the final revelator of God. So when it comes to what will happen when Jesus returns, who will be our final authority on that? Who will be our final authority on who is returning? It will be Jesus. So say I say, you know, to where is Sister Judith? She doesn't come in person. Where is Sister Judith? Where is Sister Wura? Finally see you in person today. You always show videos, right? Now I see you in person. Say, for instance, I say to Sister Wura, I'm coming to visit you. And you say, when? 3:30 p.m. I call her again. I say, by the way, the ETA is saying I'll be in your place at 3:28. Who will you trust more about when I'm going to get to your place? Me, right? Not Brother Bumi, who got a text from me yesterday. You trust me more because I'm on my way to you and I'm on the road. I can see it. I say this because many people have become confused because they say, but Paul said this. No, you come to Jesus. He knows when he's coming and how he's coming. So any of the other people trying to describe how he's going to come, they must accord with what he himself is saying. And actually, there's no contradiction. It's just the way that we ourselves think we know it. Let me use a word that is actually a part of the process. It's called the rapture. You know how much the rapture has divided believers? But you come and see, how is Jesus going to come? In what manner will he return? Will everybody see him when he comes? He answers it. He is the authority on it. He tells them, he says, look, so they come to him, they say, can you tell us what will be the sign of your coming? They asked him about Jerusalem. So two things. In AD 70, Jerusalem fell as Jesus described. I won't go into all that. I can see people are tired. So, but what I would like to share with us in the next, you know, next time that we're here, is to let's go through how the Lord Jesus says he is going to return to us. And why is he returning? Most of the time, when I first became a believer, I want to end with this. The sense I got about our going to be with the Lord did not, I was always confused because, hear this. Shall we gather at the river? I'm going to write, you know, just get, shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, where its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we will gather at the river. The beautiful river, gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we will reach the shining river. Soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we will gather at the river, the beautiful river, gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. I always heard those things, but I did not understand what they were talking about. We're going to cross the river Jordan, and we're going to walk on the streets of God. I said, what does that mean? When we get to heaven, what will we be doing? So we're going to be worshiping God, and we're going to walk on the streets of God. I said, so after that, what else? And so what else? And it's always sounded, they will be doing something, but when we get there, actually, the Lord tells us what will we be doing. It's just that we always got it wrong. God is coming to establish here on earth his kingdom. And eventually there will be a new heaven and a new earth where God descends and he's with his people. Hang on there. You know you have questions for me? Just hold it. In 2 weeks, we will go through the details. Jesus said there will be the destruction of the temple. But then he went on to talk about the second part. Let me just quickly preface that. He says, that coming of mine, I want to tell you by a few things. One, I want to tell you, see that no one misleads you. Brothers and sisters, every one of us has a responsibility to make sure we are not deceived. One of the signs of the end times, as we call it, is deception. If you were not in this country in 2020, let's just say you took a sabbatical, you were spared of many. It was a shameful display on the part of those who don't know God. I don't particularly think those, I didn't hear it in the church like this. I didn't hear it in places where people really wanted to follow God. But if you were following those who have forgotten that the kingdom of God is not the Republic of America, they were prophesying who was going to win an election. Some of them were calling angels from Africa. And I just said, what is going on? And one of them was laughing like a mentally deranged person. And so what is this, the church of the living God? But you might say it was funny. What happened was that it really brought us to a point of disrepute. But that's not God. God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. Those were false prophets. And not many of them repented. They found a way. And I really hope that none of you listens to what they call the Elijah list. I really hope you don't. So people say, Lord, you don't mention their names. Go and read the book of Jude. I'm saying this. Be careful that you are not deceived. Be careful that no one deceives you. Jesus said, people are going to come and say, I'm he. They're not going to say, I'm Jesus. They are going to say they are the ones that God has raised up in these last days. And there's one popular thing that happens on January 1st. It is that God is about to do a new thing. Brothers and sisters, God does not work by January. January, February, it's a Gregorian calendar based on the zodiac. It's a pagan system. God doesn't work that way. God has his own work. And God doesn't start every year. What God starts, he finishes. When God starts a work, he will finish it. He doesn't end in December. It's not in our calendar. So all of us, every January where we say, now a new thing is going to begin, it doesn't work that way. That's a wish. There's no problem with that, but God doesn't work that way. It should not surprise you. When God begins a good work, he's able to accomplish it. So all of these new, have you got a prophecy for 2021? Our 2022. I know we all meet to pray like the first days of January. That's okay. There's no problem with that. But please don't run into the mistake of thinking that every January, God has to bring a new plan. He's already revealed his eternal purposes. And at different points, he will reveal to the saints what has been appointed for our glory. I'll give you an example. I said I was going to end. Do you know there was a time the people did not know that Gentiles were going to come to faith? They just did not know. Paul in the book of Ephesians says, God is now revealing to the holy apostles what was hidden in the ages past. And he said, when you read what I'm telling you, you will see the mystery of this revelation. So brothers and sisters, do not wait for January to know what it is that God wants to do. He's already revealed them by his son. He says, see to it that one, you are not led astray. And these rumors of wars and everything, they do not unsettle us. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pangs. I want to stop here and encourage us. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what next year or what tomorrow will be. But I know who will be with us tomorrow. I know the one who lives forever, who was and is to come, is the one who will be here tomorrow. And even when time has passed, I know we have prayed for our children. I know, I'm sure the Adenugas on Tisha's birthday, they pray new prayers, they bless you, which is all good. But what God has established and said, this is what I'm going to do in this church life, that remains. that remains. You know, what the Bejides have, you know, gave their children up to God, and God has agreed to that, that remains with him. He doesn't forget. You may forget. And what the Lord has this, you know, ordained that he would do for the diaries, he's already had that. Or with Brother Bumia, with Sister Wura, with every one of us, we are in Christ. So what God has promised Christ is us. You want to know how to do the will of God? Just be in Christ. Because all that God has promised his son is part of what you are. That's why we're called the body of Christ. And this is the goal of God. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he said he's going to prepare a bride that he will present to himself that will be spotless. So as much as we can find fault with all that we are, you know, Sister, you know, Jackie will say, don't mind, you know, fellowship. Sometimes if I don't come to church, that Sister Jackie didn't say it, but I'm just saying, says Sister Jackie said, look, and I went to a church and I don't pray for others, not this church. All the things we find about ourselves that are not working. Do you know that one day God said he will present us to himself without spot or wrinkle? That would take some doing, but all things are possible with God. So I do want to say, brothers and sisters, be encouraged. The Peter that, you know, was able to triumphantly enter into the kingdom of God, and you know how he denied the Lord Jesus. Those people they didn't have seven heads, but they were indwelt by the same Holy Spirit. Those of you who are in college, so it's good to see Howard University, although Bumi was about to lead you into trouble. He was about to say, great, and I said, Bumi, don't go there, because you know that's not going to end well. So, but those of you who are at Howard University, those of you who are in other colleges, in your young age, as you're seeking to make your way into the world, trust in God and do good. Trust in God, do good. Seek God with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will bring it to pass. Let us pray. Can we stand up, please, just to pray? Thank you for giving me this time to share with you. I know it's been a long day, but it was good that we were able to pray for our brothers and sisters who are undergoing persecution, because one day we are going to need their prayers. But thank God that he has helped us. And thank you, my readers. Why don't we just simply pray the prayer the Lord taught us. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we've forgiven those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless all of us with peace and guide us in courage to stand for the faith that has been delivered to the saints. Amen. Thank you.